the Baruch Hu, which is now the bracha after Yishtavach, because there's no Baruch Hu anymore. But the bracha there is Yaitzer Or Uvoyde Choyshech Oysa Shalom Uvere Sakol. So I was just thinking that a lot of us, we think of darkness. Hey, Yoni, start recording. Thank you. We think of darkness as the absence of creation. Not that it is a creation. But here we see clearly not that Yetzer Or, Hashem created the light, and he created darkness. That darkness is all this, not just the absence of something. It was a creation Hashem did. He created darkness. So just what the thought that came to my mind was how a lot of us are now in darkness, meaning there's some down times. It didn't just happen. Same way Hashem created the light, Hashem created the good, he also created this darkness. He created these times of difficulty. But at the end of the day, it says, Oyseh Shalom, Hashem will also make Shalom. So we have the Yetzer Or, the Vorei Choyshech, but there will be a Mitzvah, the Oyseh Shalom, and we'll understand everything and we'll get back to what we call the good times. I'm sure this is good for us, but we'll perhaps understand it. Which leads into my Bitachon thought, which is we discussed up until now different thoughts of the Chazon Ish and the Rebbeinu Bechaya. I'll just put out a different thought from the Chafetz Chaim, which is that part of Bitachon is you don't understand something and you don't need to understand something, but you have to realize there's for sure something going on. There's for sure some deeper meaning behind it, and one day we may come to understand it. And the mashal that the Chafetz Chaim gave, which I've spoken to a few people about, was from Yosef and his brothers. That as the brothers were going back and forth between Yaakov and Paro, trying to get the food, and things were really weird, and the king of Mitzrayim was asking so many weird questions, and they weren't understanding anything, it was probably a very difficult time for them. They were suffering. Like, what was going on? And then with two words alone, they understood everything. Ani Yosef, they understood everything. So what's interesting is, what Chafetz Chaim points out, there's so many things that are going on in life we're not understanding. But with two words, Ani Yosef, they understood everything. So too, with whatever we're not understanding. Maybe Hashem will reveal it to us, maybe he won't reveal it to us. But it's for sure, very quickly and easily, Hashem will say, blah, 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 whatever it is, and we'll understand everything. I mean, that was just a thought in the word of Bitachon. Okay, so let's get back to work over here. Over the last 5 days, we started from the beginning of Bedikas Chametz. We got up to now Erev Pesach with Chametz Matzah, and now we're starting the Leil HaSeder. So, yeah, the Leil HaSeder, there's a lot more details. I will go slower, perhaps, and go more line by line in the Shulchan Aruch, which is Tav Ayin Beis. So we started Tav Chaf Tes. We're now up to Tav Ayin Beis, which starts with Dini HaSeva and Dalek Kaisei. So we'll go in order of the Shulchan Aruch and try to pick out what is very relevant for us, especially for those first-timers that were making a Seder by themselves. So here we go. So first, Tav Aleph discusses how the Shulchan should be set. That you should start on time. What does starting on time mean? Starting on time means not when you want to and not when you come home from shul, because we won't be coming home from shul. What it means is by Tzeis HaChachavim. You're not allowed to start until Tzeis HaChachavim. The reason is because the mitzvahs of the night have to be done at night. At night means Tzeis HaChachavim. And therefore, whenever you want to daven, obviously it's always better to say Shema after Tzeis HaChachavim anyway. You can daven ma'ariv earlier, but whatever it is, whenever you want to start the Seder, you have to make sure it is after the Tzeis HaChachavim. That way, the first kais of the Dalek kaisis should be after Tzeis. That's halacha aleph. Halacha beis, whether or not you say halal ma'ariv zak, it's a machlekes minhagim. My minhag, and I think most Ashkenazim in America do not say it. In Eretz Yisrael, most of the shuls do say it. Now that you're dominating your own shul, you can make up your own minhag, because the minhag in your shul is the first year, so you can inaugurate your own minhag. But there are it is a machlokes. It is a machlokes when I say halal, but yes, really. It is a machlokes, and I personally will not be saying halal. because that was not my minhag. And since I'm the rabbi and the gabbai and the president of my shul, I will not be saying challah this year at night. I'll say by the hot, by the seder, but not by the davening. Okay, halacha beis. You should set your table nicely. Nicely means use your fine china. Even if you don't have fine china, maybe you could buy fine china. No bracha, Zach. And maybe you could buy fine china. And if it's hard to wash, you can wash it after yantif or whatever you like. But there definitely is a minhag to set with the finest china. The Mishnah Berurah brings down different gedalim that would do different things to have nice stuff by the seder. That is halacha beis. Halacha gimel is discussing how you are supposed to do haseba. Okay, so haseba means reclining. Back in the day, they knew how to recline. They had very fancy lazy boys, really cool chairs, went all the way back. They would lay down like Zevi's doing right now and like Mitch is doing. So those people know how to recline. Moshe, I'm not sure exactly what you're doing. But people who know how to recline, that's how they used to eat back in the day. So that's how you should be doing it. Now, today we don't really do that. So we take our chair, we take our pillow, we get really uncomfortable. And that's what we do. That's our minhag. That's our haseba. For better or for worse, we're going to see the Rav Yah hold that today we don't do haseba. And we'll have nafkaminas we're going to get to in a minute. But the point is, l'maisa, we follow the minhagim, which is to do the best haseba that we can on another chair or on another person. If there's anyone else at your seder, perhaps you could do haseba onto them. But
definitely want to leave. Rebbe, the way, Rebbe, us doing haseba nowadays is like anti-cheres.
Lady, there's the mute button. I'm going to get to you in a second. Now, like this. So the we do haseba, even though it's anti-haseba, we still do. Thank you, lady. We still do haseba. And you're supposed to do it on your left side. So for righties, it's very convenient. You're leaning on your left, you're eating with your right or drinking with your right hand. Very convenient. For lefties, even if it is inconvenient, you're still supposed to do it on your left side because of choking purposes. And therefore, you definitely, everyone lefty or righty, should be leaning on their left side. If you mess up and go on the wrong side, if you're a righty, you're not yotze. And if you're a lefty and you mess up, you are yotze. Now that's halacha gimel. Halacha dalid, this is for women. Women are not chai to do a seba. They don't need to do it unless they are chashiv. And obviously, the Rama adds in, everyone is very chashiv. All women, all of our women are very chashiv. That's what the Rama says, and we believe him, and we know that as a fact. All women are very chashiv. However, the minhag is the women do not do a seba. So lemaisa, that is our minhag today. That even though women are chashiv, they do not do a seba. That is the minhag of the Rama. And now it's based on a Rav Yah. And maybe this Rav Yah is for you. The Rav Yah says that leaning today is very much not in style. We don't do it. And perhaps the leaning that we're doing, as Lady pointed out, is very uncomfortable. And therefore, we kind of make some sort of compromise, which is men do it and women don't. So that's what we do. So that is the minhag of the Rama, and that's the minhag that we follow in my house. A halacha, hey. The Rav Yah is a Rishon. Now, halacha hey, ben etzel aviv, if a father is a son with his father, with his Rebbe, halacha is a son with his father does recline. He doesn't have to ask permission. A Talmud with his Rebbe does have to ask permission, but no one is invited to any Rebbe's darim this year, probably, so it won't be an ogeya. But if it were to happen, you'd have to ask permission from your Rebbe in order to leave. Some Rebbeim will give permission, some will not. I know a certain Rav who is makbid not to give permission. That's not covered. And you sit and drink without leaning. Anyway, that is halacha hey. Halacha vav probably is not relevant. Halacha zayin. This is very relevant. Okay, let's say you mess up. And you drink from the dalet kaisais without doing haseba. So this is halacha zayin. I'm going to elaborate a little bit. I'm going to foreshadow a little bit. And this is very crucial. Which is like this. We have 4 cups of wine. Are you allowed to drink more than 4 cups of wine? Are you allowed to drink other drinks between the drinks? So to make it short and simple, every time that you make hagafen, which we're going to see soon, you make hagafen all 4 times, unless you're Sephardi, but we're going, the Ashkenazi minhag is you make hagafen all 4 kaisais. What you should do is have in mind, every time that you're making hagafen, have in mind that you may want to drink more. It'll solve a lot of issues. We'll see as we go. But what you should do is the first kais, when you're making kiddush, making Rabbi Agavin, have in mind you may drink more wine. Same thing with the second cup. Now, the third or fourth cup, it won't be relevant because you're really not allowed to drink more wine after the third or fourth cup. So that will leave, it doesn't really matter what you do for the third or fourth cup, but because you shouldn't be drinking more wine, but for sure the first and second, you should have in mind you may drink more.
Rabbi, you're talking to Chabur, guys. That never stopped us before.
Maybe. Even if you are a Chabur guy, there will be no extra kaisais this night, my friend. Now, so cup one and two, have in mind, anyway, it's only wine, it's not whiskey, my friend. Have in mind cup one and two that you may drink as much as you want. Now, that will enable you to drink wine between one and two and three. We'll get to that in a second, David. So you will be allowed to drink wine between one and two, two and three, if you have that in mind. Now, it is not recommended to drink, Levi and Zevi, it's not recommended to drink wine between one and two. It's not recommended to drink wine during Magid because you're supposed to be doing Magid with Yira. You also are not supposed to get drunk, so you will actually do the halacha properly, Magid properly. But I'll tell you why you should have it in mind. We'll get that in a second. So first of all, if you do have it in mind between one and two, two and three, you are allowed to drink wine. You also are allowed to drink water between all the kaisais, between one, two, two, three, three, four, and even after four, you are allowed to drink water. Okay, that's the basic structure. Now, it's relevant to halacha zayin, because let's say you messed up and you drank your kaisais without doing haseba. You forgot, you spaced out, you held like Levi, you shouldn't do it, but then you realize that you really should have done it. So now, if you had in mind that you can drink more wine, then what you can do is drink a second cup and do haseba during your second cup, because you will not need to make a new bracha. You're not allowed to make five Borei Pi Hagafens tonight, on this night. You're only allowed to make four. And therefore, what you want to do is have in mind, therefore, if by mistake you did not lean during the first cup or second cup, you will be allowed to drink it again, and this time do a seva, and you will not make another bracha. Okay? That is what the Shulchan Aruch and Halacha Zayin says. However, for the third and fourth cup, there's no way to fix it because we don't want you drinking more wine during the third and the fourth cup. And therefore, you won't, but still you're yotze because here we're going to rely on the Rav Yah who says that seva is not makiv anyway. Now, when it comes to matzah, we'll discuss tomorrow. Matzah, you also have to drink eat it the seva. And we're going to see if you have to eat again. The matzah, the avikomen, it's a big tumult. But right now, we're going to focus tonight on the Dalet Kaisei. So there you go. All four need a seva. All four have in mind you may drink more. You are allowed to drink one and two again without a bracha. Three and four, there's no drinking again. And that's halacha zayin. Halacha ches, you're supposed to drink the four cups in the seder, not one after the other. Rav David Soloveitchik. Anyway, you're allowed to have water and wine, my friend. Rav David Soloveitchik said that a seder is a banquet and not a bar. At a bar, for those of us who know what a bar is, it's where you go and drink cup after cup after cup. Even though tonight you're having four, even though, I don't care, Kiva, even though you're having four cups of wine, it's not supposed to be bartender, another one, another one. It's supposed to be able to say there. That's what Halacha Ches is saying. You follow the rules. First do the Kiddush, then the Magid, then another cup, then the Suda, then the benching, then another cup. It has to be done in that order. You can't just say, okay, I need to have four cups of wine and some matzah, boom, 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 and be done in a minute. That's not how it goes. That's Halacha Ches. Halacha Tes. Okay, this is very tricky and Halacha Lamaisa. Halacha Tes, how big the cup has to be, how much of it do you need to drink, and how quickly do you need to drink it? Okay, three issues in Halacha Tes. How big the cup should be, it should be at least a revius. A revius is minimally 3 ounces, preferably 3.3 ounces, and if you're a super duper drunkard or a machmir, 5 ounces. Got that, lady? So the most it has to be, according to Chazal, should be 5 ounces. I would recommend being in the 3 to 4 ounce range. That's how big the cup should be, at least. Now, how much of that should you drink? The best would be, the most ideal, to drink the whole cup, which I mean, have a cup 3.3 ounces and drink all of it. Have a cup at 7 ounces and drink all of it. These are lechatchilas. But if you're going to get drunk or you're going to get sick, so don't do that. The minimum is to drink a rive of a revius, which would be a majority of 3.3. So Josh is a math major. I'm assuming he'll agree with me. Rive of 3.3 is 1.7 ounces. Yes? Yes. Okay, so what you need to do over here is the minimum is a cup of 3.3 and drink rive of that. The ideal is a cup of whatever size you want and drink the whole thing. The middle place, the silver medal, would be to drink rive of whatever cup you have. I mean, let's say you have a 6 ounce cup, it would still be ideal to have rive of that cup. Okay, but the ideal would be go for the whole cup, get a lighter alcohol wine if you can stomach it, and that is halacha tes. Halacha yud is someone who gets sick because of wine, he doesn't like the wine, drink it anyway, unless you're going to get really sick. If it's going to put you into bed or worse, so then don't drink the wine. You'll drink apple, you'll drink grape juice, or we'll see maybe later. You are allowed to have chamar medina, which means like the drink of the country, which perhaps is coffee or tea, but that's very, very b'di'eved. We don't want to go there. But so if you can't stomach the wine, go for the grape juice. Halacha yud aleph is that you should be having red wine unless the white wine is better. And if you, no beer, my friend, if you like to have the white wine and you want to color it, so you do not use food coloring. First of all, it may not be kosher for Pesach, but even if it is, it's ideal to color it with the wine. So what you should do is color the white wine with some red wine. The way you do that is you don't want to be over the Eser Tzviya on Yantif. So what you do is you put a little bit of red wine first in the cup, and then you pour the white wine on top of that. Now, for those wine connoisseurs that are listening, you may be not so happy with that. If it ruins the wine, so don't do it. But if you like white wine, you can do it. If it's way better, do it. If you can stomach to mix a little bit of red wine in with that, fine. But do the red wine first and then pour the white wine on top of that. But if you can handle and have a nice, good red wine, do that. That's ideal. Next, halacha yud beis, you can use wine which is mevushel. Ideal if it's yain she'ena mevushel, but yain mevushel is also fine. That is halacha yud beis. Halacha yud gimel, even if you're poor, buy wine. Halacha yud dalid, women are chayv in all mitzvahs of the night. All mitzvahs of the night mean dalid chayseis, the matzah, sefer yisrael mitzrayim. So machlokas if it's derabanan or deraisa, but women are chayv in all the mitzvahs of the night. Halacha tezvav with children, if they're higi l'chinuch, give them chinuch, and if they are able to drink the wine, let them drink a little bit of wine. You don't want them getting drunk, but you can let them drink the wine. And halacha tezayin is you want to keep them awake, so you give them stuff to keep them awake. That's tough ayin beis. Let's see if we get a little bit of tough ayin gimel in. So the way it goes is you make a shachiyan, you make kiddush, you make a shachiyanu. Or for those in America, you'll be making Shechianu both nights. For us in Eretz Yisrael, one day is you'll be making Shechianu one night. There is no Havdalah this year in Kiddush. Halacha Beis, you should drink it leaning down, and you do doing a Seba, you do not make a Bracha Achreina. Right? So this is interesting. We're going to be drinking 4 cups of wine. There's only one Bracha Achreina made, and that's at the end. There's no other Bracha Achreina made along the way. Halacha Gimel, if you want, halacha gimel, this is for all of our alcoholic lenient people. Halacha gimel, if you want to add cups of wine, you can do it, but it should be between 2 and 3. Between 1 and 2, don't do it because you may get drunk and you may miss the seder. Haggadah. Halacha dalid is we bring the ka'ara in front of the bala bayis. So whoever is the bala bayis, he's the one that has the ka'ara on the ka'ara. It has everything, the kapras, the mar, etc. He goes to what you have. What's interesting is you're supposed to have on there something which is Zechel Chagiga and something Zechel Pesach, right? On Erev Pesach, they would bring karbanas under most circumstances, 2 different karbanas. Karban 1 is the karban Pesach, and karban 2 is the karban Chagiga. As a Zechel for that, we have the Zraya, which we roasted, and we have the Beitza, which is cooked, but we roasted a little bit also. So that is the minhag to have on your Seder plate a chicken wing or chicken leg, and to have the beitza as well. That is on your Seder plate. Fine. Halakha Hey discusses which maras you're yotze with. We hold bisman hazeh lemaisa. We use either romaine lettuce or the sharper horseradish. Both are fine. You want them to be sharp. You want the horseradish to be sharp, but you don't want to die from it. And therefore, you can grind it up so it shouldn't be too dangerous. And that is halakha hay, all the different species you can get. Also, we discuss halakha hay, making charaises. So follow whatever your minhag is in making charaises. You want it to be red. You have a little red wine in there, some nuts. He has the whole recipe. The mom brings down the recipe. Follow your mother's recipe. Halakha vav is you wash your hands for karpas, and you do not make a bracha on the washing. The way that works is you wash your hands, then you make a hadama on the karpas. When you make the hadama on the karpas, you should have in mind that hadama is going on the maror, and you should eat less than the kazayas. All of a sudden, everyone here is starving, dying to have their vegetables. The whole year round, no one's interested. But now all of a sudden, like, you're dying to have that celery, radishes, potatoes, lettuce. Oh, not lettuce, sorry, not lettuce. Cross that out. Right? The four choices are radish, celery, parsley, or potatoes. Try and control yourself and have less than kazayas. If you have a kazayas, you still don't make a bracha achreina, but it's not ideal. Okay, so lechatchila, make your adama, have in mind the karpas and the mar you're going to have later on, eat less than kazayas. If you do eat more than the kazayas, no bracha achreina. Okay, then you take, that is karpas, then you do yachas, you break the middle matzah, you put the smaller piece back down on the seder plate in between the two shleimim. And the bigger piece you hide later on, Fabi Kaiman, and that is Yachatz. Then you do Halach Ma'anya. As you do that, you pick up the middle matzah. And it says over here in the Ramah, you can say in any language, Hebrew, English, Spanish, whatever language you understand, the people at your Seder understand, is the language you should be doing Haggadah in. No need to do it in Hebrew if you don't understand that well. That is Halacha. Bob discusses over here the concept of moving the kara off the table. It was the custom to do that. The Magen Avraham says today that's not the custom. So if it is your custom, great. If not, you don't need to make it your custom. You can follow whatever you did or was done last year. Then Halacha Zayin, we pour the second cup. And now we go into the Manishtana, the Hulu Hulu, as it is written in your Haggadah. You'll follow the Haggadah. And then as we do Pesach Matzah Maror, we do not pick up the Pesach and say, that Pesach, we don't do that because we don't want anyone to think this is carbon Pesach, but you do that for your matzah and for the maror. You do pick up matzah zeh, maror zeh, and you should make sure the women are chayiv in this. They should be here for this. So even if they had to step out to take care of baby or food or anything else they had to take care of, now when it comes time to Pesach, matzah, maror, should make sure that everyone is there for that. And he ends off with, when you do dam, eish, timus asha, and bechul, and the ten makis, you should pour out a wine with a finger. It's a machlokas if you should do the etzba, the index finger, yeah, or your pinky. Divim machlokas, divim minhagim, do whatever your minhag is. It's not ma'akev, you don't have to do it again. And some, as my final way, I even tell you, pours out without their fingers, and that's fine if you want to keep your hands clean. That's not my minhag, I like getting them dirty. That's the end of Tav Ayin Gimel. Tav Ayin Dalid is just discussing how you do make a brave Yagofen on all four kaisis. The svarim do not, but the minhag Ashkenazim is to make, yes, lady, to make a bari piagafen on every one of the four kaisis. That ends Taf Ayin Dalad Mishnah. We'll continue tomorrow on Taf Ayin Hey, which takes us up to Rachza and Maitzi Matzah. I will now end off with answering the riddles of yesterday. So yesterday's first riddle was, how is it possible in Chol Hamoed that is Aser to shave your whole beard, which I could use. It's aser to shave your whole beard. However, it is mutter, perhaps in a scenario, to shave half of a beard. The scenario would be like this. Midaraisa, you are allowed to take a haircut and shave on Chol Hamoed. Midaraisa, because it's done with Tzarech Hamoed, it's needed for Kavod Hamoed, it's mutter midaraisa. The Rabbanan said it was aser. The Rabban said it was aser because we don't want people to come in the first day of Yontif not having been shaven, and they're relying on the fact that they'll shave Chol Hamoed, and therefore the Rabbanan asered shaving and haircuts during Chol Hamoed. What would be if you forgot that halacha, and in the middle of Chol Hamoed you started taking a shave, and you caught yourself halfway through? Now it's aser Now you realize that's usher. But because of Gemara, we learned in brachas for kavod abriyos that you shouldn't be embarrassed. It's doicha and isad rabbanan. So even though you were not allowed to shave your whole beard, at this point, if you were to call me up or anyone else up and say, "Hey, Rabbi, I have half a beard on right now, and it's very embarrassing for me to go out of the house," you would be allowed now, lechachila, in this situation, you would be allowed to shave the second half of the beard. Okay, it should not happen, but if it does, you're prepared. Halacha, yeah, the other thing was, the other shayla we had, the lamdish shayla, was, does a ger fast tainas bechar? So it could be asked in two ways. Let's say he himself, before he was megayer, he was a bechar to his goyish parents. Now that he converts, does he fast? And I would like to ask you, even without that. So at first, as you would say, that the whole reason for the tainas bechar is the zecher to the nes that the bechar was saved. At that point, he was a mitzri, or he was a goy, his forefathers were goy, so maybe he wasn't included in that nes. Also, it's a zecher to the tainas that the bechars did back then. But he didn't, because he was a goy. But I think that's faulty logic, because anything we do today is a zecher, right? Tainas Esther is a zecher to that. Well, he was probably on the other team. But still, once you're a ger, you're a ger. You're now on our team. Once you're on our team, everything that we do, you do as well. And therefore, the fast would be relevant to him. So therefore, I would think it would make sense that he should have to fast. But I believe not only if he was the firstborn to his parents, I would assume even if he wasn't a firstborn, because we have the concept that once someone converts, it's like he was just born, as Lady wanted me to say again. He's a born again. Now that he's been born again, so he's the oldest in his house. He's the only one in his house. He has no parents, halakhically. He is the only and the oldest. So I would believe that a ger should fast, and even if he wasn't the firstborn, mazel tov, he is now the firstborn in his family, so he should fast. Halakha maizah, go here, see him anyway, it'll be easy, but something to think about. Okay, that was yesterday's. Tonight's riddle will be the following. There was a story with the Brisker Rav that someone went to the Brisker Rav and asked the Brisker Rav if he can use milk for his dalet kaisis. Meaning, he didn't have wine, whatever it was. Chamam Medina, we spoke out earlier, coffee, tea, maybe you could use that. So he asked the Brisker Rav if he could use milk. The Brisker Rav, I'm changing perhaps some of the details of the story, but more or less what the Brisker Rav said was, he told his son, go give him some meat. That was the end of the story. What was the pshat in that story? Perhaps some of you know the story, not know the story. We'll discuss a little bit more tomorrow. But that was what he told him. The question was, can he have milk for the dalet kaisis? The Brisker Rav didn't answer him. Instead, the Brisker Rav gave him a piece of meat. Okay? We want to know why he did that. What was going on? This is perhaps an easier one, but maybe know the story or not. We'll discuss it more tomorrow. A second shayla is like this, a more lamdish one, which is, what is the pshat in all of Seabury Season Shrayim? We want the kids to ask, right? Now, I understand that a lot of kids aren't so smart, but we did this last year and the year before and the year before. So what's going on? So the kids should ask. They know the whole routine. We did it. We did it last year. And Seabury Season Shrayim, they know the whole story. Like, they probably don't know much about Karbanais, but they for sure know about Seabury Season Shrayim. So what's this whole thing we're doing by the night of the Seder, going through the motions again? Okay, we're Karpas. Oh, wow, that's funny, Dad. Why are we doing that? What's the whole concept of doing it again, teaching them a story which they already know, and having them ask questions about something which they're expecting because they were taught about it also, right? They practice the Manishtana, they know everything. So the question is, what are we gaining? Why are we doing this? What's the pshat in the whole Seder night with the kids and with the whole Seder? Something to think about. I'll try to give an approach tomorrow. As far as the pshat on the Haggadah, Zevi, my number is 917-643-3234. 917-643-463. 917-463-3234. 917-463-3234. Now, as far as the Pshat Magadah, the Pshat Magadah is like this. We say in Dayenu that had Hashem brought us to Har Sinai and not given us a Torah, Dayenu. So it's a very famous question. Thank you, Yoni. It's a very famous question. What is the pshat in that. Like, the biggest mitzvah we have is the Torah. Talmud Torah, Talmud Torah can make a kulam. Torah is the biggest thing. How can we say dayenu, it would have been enough? It's a very famous, important question. One approach, which again, it's not so satisfying, but it's definitely a nice concept, which is there was something which happened at Har Sinai, which is very unique and probably has not happened since, which is we say Ki'ish Echad B'Lev Echad. Klai Yisrael became like one. We had one heart. There was such tremendous achdus that happened at Har Sinai. So perhaps that's the Kavanah. Had we gotten to Har Sinai, being at Har Sinai, that itself was a situation where we had such tremendous achdus, it may never have been repeated. And that's something, thank you, Levy, that's something that perhaps is worthwhile, even we never got the Torah, just to get to that situation. Levy would like me to mention that we discussed last week, or actually on Sunday, that at Har Sinai, the Zuhama was removed from us. My hunch is that didn't happen just at Har Sinai, that happened actually when we got the Torah. I'm not sure if it happened just being at Har Sinai or only with the Torah, I don't know. But for sure, what did happen at Har Sinai was we had such a tremendous level of achdus that was unique, not ever matched again, I believe, in Klal Yisrael. And that itself is something to say dayenu about. Have a wonderful night. I mentioned tomorrow, same time, we'll finish up the Seder or continue with the Seder lot. Have a good night.
Can you go over the bracha, Nathan, you had in mind for the bracha for the first coast, the second coast? If you forgot to lean, what was that?
If you had in mind that so you drink a set, you can drink a cup again without a bracha, with leaning.
So then, meaning how many? You're going to be leaning four times then? That's the five times, sorry. Three to five cups.
You're supposed to have four cups leaning and only four brachas. If you messed up and you can drink again without making another bracha, so do it. Between one and two, two and three. Sorry, between one and two, between number one and number two, you can drink again without a bracha.
Not at the second coast. You drink in between.
Right away. You drank coast number one. You drank coast number one and you didn't lean. So what you're going to do now is drink number one again.
You had in mind. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Rabbi, in the first year of marriage, do you wear a kittel?
Very good question. It's the machlokes. If you know what your family's minhag is, follow it.
I have no idea. That's why I'm asking you.
If you could find out, if there's anyone to ask, try to find out.
He has no idea.
If they have no idea, I personally don't. But it is a machlokes. The people hold both ways. I personally did. And you can do whatever you like.
And okay. That's it. You don't make a problem.
How do we sell our chametz now in quarantine?
Why?
How do we sell our chametz?
Online.
You can sell it online?
Absolutely. Online. There's a lot of holy rabbis that are selling it online.
Also, what's the number of the person for selling kelim? So you don't have to tovel it?
I heard it was the Vada Kashas of Queens. Check them up online.
Wait, they said what?
Vada Kashas of Queens, and maybe others by now, are letting you sell the kelim. They're going to sell a kelim to a guy so you don't have to do tefillas kelim. Oh. Check up all the details. I'll explain. If you can't get through, call me up. I'll explain to you how to do it.
But it's still a real sale, even if you're in Israel?
What? As far as what? Yeah, but it's a real sale. Whenever they could get it, it's there.
Even if you're in Israel, okay. It doesn't really care.
In Australia, it's still mine, even if I'm not there.
And do you have to buy it back afterwards, or it's always there for it?
You'll read the contract. You don't have to, but it's recommended to.
Okay. Thank you so much. Have a good night.
Bye. Have a good night.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Schuiker bij Gitternacht. We zijn gezond.